Professor Shumovitz, what exactly did the letter say?
Our letter called for the presidents of universities within the United States and other countries to provide protection for Jewish and Israeli students on campus and faculty on campus, and to come out against what these encampments really are calling for, which is the destruction of Israel.
And you also said that Israeli and Jewish students are welcome to transfer to Israeli university if they feel intimidated. Is this actually happening? Have you heard of any cases where students on these campuses are have already transferred or are looking into transferring to Israeli universities?
Well, first of all, no one would be transferring within the middle of the year. We'll only know this when we look at the next academic year. But we've already seen that in certain universities, especially Ivy League universities, there's been a big drop in registration of Jewish students in general. And we've seen an increase in interest on what are our English-speaking programs for the coming academic year. So we will definitely see, I think, demographic shifts in where Jewish students go to study within the United States. And I think we will see an increase of students coming to Israel. I mean, considering that our tuition is, you know, $4,000 a year versus how much is it in the United States for all those universities, I think all of a sudden American Jewish parents will realize it's a good bang for their buck.
Now, it's obviously uncomfortable, one could guess, for Jewish or Israeli students to enter these campuses, given the current atmosphere there and the ongoing protests. But how many cases have you heard of actual physical intimidation or acts of violence or, indeed, anti-Semitism against these students?
Oh, we've heard, first of all, two things. First of all, there have been numerous. I mean, it's not only anecdotal. And we have to remember that intimidation is, you know, is subjective of who's feeling intimidated and who's not feeling intimidated. But it's on numerous campuses and students are just feeling uncomfortable walking around. I was at Columbia University in November, and I felt uncomfortable with what was going on there. And I had been at Columbia University over 40 years ago. But we at the same time, we need to remember that there are universities within the United States where the administrations, where the presidents have led a clear policy where such behavior is unaccepted and where there have been no reports of violence, where Jews, Israelis, and Muslims and Palestinian supporters mingle freely and have heated discussion, but without intimidation.
So how do you explain the difference then? Is this the way maybe administration is...
In the end, it all comes down to leadership.
By the university administration there?
By the university administration. For example, we see now the president of Columbia University making very strong stands against radical Islamic organizations like Hamas, like the Islamic Jihad, and criticizing her students for supporting them. And she's saying this as they are taking down the tent camps. But, you know, it took 6 months. When there are clear moral grounds stated, lines drawn in the sand, then the students also know how to react and what measures they can and cannot take. And we need to remember that the vast majority of these students, 18, 19, 20-year-old, don't really have any idea or a strong idea about what they're protesting.
It's just like sort of a trendy thing to do, to go along
sure,
with.
Sure, I mean, you know, when I was 18 also, everyone who doesn't want to demonstrate against a war, who doesn't want to demonstrate in favor of refugees? You know, it's of course it sounds and feels good if you don't understand the complexity. And it's the role of the leadership to point out the complexity.
Now, while most of the focus naturally today is centered on these wave of protests sweeping U.S. campuses, there is another worrying development, and that's an ongoing development of the academic boycott against Israel and Israeli institutions. There was an interview with a professor this morning who was due to be the keynote speaker on a campus abroad. His invitation was cancelled at the last minute because he is from Israel. How worrying for you is this, and how common is this phenomenon?
Well, it's an increasing phenomenon, and it's increasing weekly. It is very worrying. People are being asked either to hide their affiliations or not to come to conferences in growing numbers, even by some people who they are their close friends, because they're, you know, you'll get some type of response. Oh, we don't have anything against you personally, but we're worried about what the fallout might be. You know, we don't want demonstrations. I'm a speaker at a conference at the end of next month, at the end of June. And I talked with the organizers to make sure that I will be welcome and safe at the conference.
And what was their response?
Oh, no doubt about it, that I would be welcome and safe.
Has it got to the stage, say, that Ben-Gurion University now would consider before hosting a seminar or a conference because there's a good chance that hardly anyone will come?
I'll give you both the good and the bad. I mean, we've had conferences, we have events, and people are still coming, but less so. First of all, travel to Israel, let's put things in perspective. There are many Jews who don't want to travel to Israel right now also because they're afraid. So, you know, we are still a war zone. We don't look good on the news in the States. The fact that you and I walk around without any concerns wherever, you know, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, doesn't mean that most people understand that. But if we don't grab a handle on what's going on these campuses, and we also have to realize that what people in the West are seeing on television is not what we are seeing. That the situation in Gaza for the Gazans is bad. We can't whitewash that. That's not going to go away. We have our explanations for it. But there are reasons for people to be concerned. And we have to acknowledge that and realize the complexity that our colleagues are having also. And I think there's actually an amazing opportunity here.
And where's Israelis, the opportunity?
Israeli universities deal with complexity day in and day out for as long as we've existed, at a level that our American colleagues cannot comprehend or understand. Dealing, you know, with Arab, Jewish, left-wing, right-wing students on campus, each with their own causes, each with their own desire to demonstrate, to counter-demonstrate. Our universities can actually be an example for American universities. Our goal should not to be to divest, to withdraw from our contact with American universities, but actually to offer them help. You know, the irony is that in September of last year, a month before, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before October 7th, there was a delegation from Ben-Gurion University that went to a university in the United States. It was led by my vice president, Professor for Diversity and Inclusion, Professor Sarab Abu Rabia, Israel's first Bedouin professor, female professor, together with two Jewish students, two Arab students, to lead seminars at that university about shared society, about how to deal with complexity. And as the president of that university told me, he goes, you know, I can't even get Republicans and Democrats to sit together in the same room. You know, how can you get Arabs and Jews to do it? Because, you know, we understand that we're not going to agree on most issues or on many issues. And so we actually, in general, know how to live with each other and how to engage with each other. And in this respect, I think we can be a model for our American counterparts.